Hello, this is John Robles. I'm speaking with Stuart Bromhall. She's a retired psychiatrist and a longtime political activist, and she's done a lot of research on U.S. aid. So you're saying it's in the U.S. interests to suppress democracy?
What happened in the Middle East is that we also supported dictators, and we supported Mubarak, we supported the Saudi royal family, which is a very totalitarian government, we supported the King of Jordan.
Bahrain.
And here it wasn't because we wanted to get cheap labor, here it was because the United States wanted to maintain control of oil resources, and so through their support of these dictators, they were able to suppress any pro-democracy movement that might be inclined to nationalize. Their biggest fear was that some of these countries would elect a pro-democratic government that would want to nationalize their oil industry.
Nice.
Like when Iran back in the 1950s, they elected a democratic government. And in this case, the CIA organized a coup to overthrow the democratically elected government. That was Kermit Roosevelt that did that. And they reinstalled the Shah of Iran, directly organizing a coup. And so now what happened with the Arab Spring is they could see that there were some very strong pro-democracy rumblings and very strong pro-labor rumblings happening in the Middle East, so that they knew it was only a matter of time before these dictators that they'd been supporting were going to be overthrown. And so what they did is they actually trained many of the student activists in various kinds of nonviolent techniques, and they really set them up in a situation where when the dictator was overthrown, they would install a new government that would be friendly to the United States. They had a period starting in 2008 where USAID, the National Endowment for Democracy, and a number of similar foundations were training these activists, and they actually collaborated with the State Department where they would bring these activists over to the United States once a year and train them how to use Facebook, train them how to use Twitter, train them how to use various kinds of software that would kind of circumvent the efforts of the government to shut down websites.
How might the U.S. manipulate infrastructure projects and basic services, for example, schools and education and hospitals and clinics?
Really, there are a number of people in the State Department who've written books about USAID, and actually, I think it's fairly common knowledge that in U.S. embassies, there are a lot of people that are, they make out like they're working for the State Department. They're really CIA agents. It's called like being a CIA agent under State Department cover. And the same is true of USAID, that a number of the people who work for USAID are actually frank CIA agents. They do two things. One is they collect intelligence information, but another thing that they do is they put out propaganda, and it can either be propaganda that counters the government where they're working, or it can be propaganda that basically supports a free market ideology, you know, that promotes the idea that everything should be run privately and that the idea of having publicly run schools is not economic or not free or not the best quality.
How could that be used by the U.S. to manipulate and advance their own goals?
Well, the thing is that what's happening right now is that there are a lot of schools being privatized in the United States right now as charter schools. So what Obama has done and a number of people in his Department of Education, they've collaborated with business people in local cities, and that's why they started all of this testing. They go into the inner city and they have these minority students take these tests, and if they don't pass a test, they shut the school down. And then what happens is that there's all this federal money that's been going into that school. That goes to now to a private corporation. And they have all these corporations set up with textbooks and testing materials and test preparation materials. So they've created this whole industry. They take this federal money and it gets funneled into these private corporations. They say the idea that the reason you want to privatize education is because that's the best kind of education. But the truth is the people who are running around promoting this are making immense profit.
Just a reminder, you're listening to an interview with Stuart Bromhall. So a lot of it has to do with just making a lot of really, really big money.
That's all it has to do with. It's making, that's really the only reason for neoliberalism. It's the same with health care. There used to be some really strong publicly sponsored health programs in the United States. Medicare was one of them, and Medicaid is one of them. And so what they've done now is they've said, well, it's better if you let the insurance companies deliver the health care rather than having the government do it. About 15 years ago, they started requiring elderly people to sign up for an insurance company when they signed up for Medicare. And there's just been a paper that's come out in this past week, all of these profits that have go under the insurance companies instead of to patient care. They put out this disinformation that medical care is better if it's private, more effective or more efficient or it costs less. But the truth is that you have all of these people raking in enormous profits because of the system being privatized. In New Zealand, which is where I live, our country is under enormous attack, you know, because of free trade treaties that we've signed. You know, they're trying to get us to dismantle our health system so that the insurance companies can come in here and start selling their product.
Can you tell us a little bit about what you know about USAID's operations in Central and Latin America? Because they've been really active in those areas in that part of the world, and in Eastern Europe.
In Eastern Europe, I'm aware that they did a lot of training of activists in advance of all these color revolutions that they had. So there were these people who were really unhappy with the government in a number of these countries. And so the USAID came in, and the George Soros Open Institute Foundation and National Endowment for Democracy, and they trained all of these people to organize in a certain way and to make certain demands. But the kind of demands that they had to make were very limited. What happened is they installed a government that either didn't change the economic and political system or left them with the economic and political system was even worse than the one that they replaced. But it was an economic and political system that was very, very favorable to United States corporations and gave them a lot of incentives in terms of tax breaks and guaranteeing them a workforce that wasn't unionized so they could make immense profit.
Mm-hmm. All right, thank you very much. I really appreciate it.
Okay. Bye.
You were listening to an interview with Stuart Bromhall. Thanks for listening.